For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. Personal fitness. In addition to the spiritual qualifications necessary for those of us who are called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are also certain attitudes, characteristics, and qualities that are necessary or highly desirable. First and foremost, as ministers, we must possess an unfailing fidelity to the doctrines of the Bible, guarding the Word of God as a sacred trust and treasure, and evidencing our commitment to hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We must be courageous and unapologetic regarding the fact that we stand for the latter rain gospel and a holiness way of life. In addition, we need to be absolutely loyal to the organization, those in spiritual authority over us, our fellow ministers, and the flock to whom we minister. As we do our best to honor and support one another, be subject to one another, and stand beside each other, God will be able to bless our efforts. The most effective ministers will possess a deep conviction that the only way to find one's life is to lose it in service to God and people. Unselfishness and a sincere attitude of kindness, patience, and long-suffering toward others go a long way in establishing a basis for effective service in this field. God-called leaders are focused on building God's kingdom, not their own empires or reputations. The Apostle Paul established the standard for all believers in Ephesians 4:1-3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is important that we never regard the work of the ministry as a mere duty. We must see our call in its true light as the great privilege that it is. The shepherds of God's flock should model sincerity and enthusiasm for the work of the Lord and be quick to show thoughtfulness, compassion, gentleness, tact, cheerfulness, and appreciation. The members of our congregations will unquestionably benefit if we are reasonable, realistic, not headstrong, and free from self-absorption, pride, or aloofness. As ministers, we should do our best to be unruffled by the distractions or emergencies that will occasionally arise in a gospel service or other times when we are ministering. If we overreact or are needlessly disturbed by things that happen, the congregation will be apt to follow our poor example. Willingness to serve wherever we have been placed is essential. For Peter instructed, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." When we are content with the location where we have been called to serve and patient with challenges we encounter there, the effectiveness of our ministry will be positively impacted. Often those we serve are encouraged by our love and concern for that location. We must look for the good in any and every post where we have the privilege to serve and remain convinced that God is in our assignment for as long as we were asked to be at that location. Wherever we labor, we must pray for grace from heaven to do the work God wants done, remembering that our role is simply to be faithful to Him. The quality of flexibility is valuable in the ministry. It is not realistic to assume that all people think, act, or work alike, even when they are walking in true biblical holiness. God made us as individuals, so we will need to be able to blend and balance the varying perspectives, opinions, and backgrounds of the people among whom we minister. As ministers, we must set the example of adaptability to the location, culture, and expectations where we have been called to serve if we expect others to respond positively to our leadership and preaching of the truth. Paul summarized the principle of ministerial adaptability when he said, "I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." No ministry will come without opposition of some sort, so fulfilling our commission to proclaim the truth will require courage. The Word of God directs us to be bold in exposing and refuting doctrinal error. The message we are to proclaim will offend some, be a stumbling block to others, and be considered foolishness by many in the world, but that must never deter us from fulfilling our God-given call. Ministers of the gospel must have an unwavering sense of purpose and be willing and able to endure reproach. Paul modeled this type of spiritual fortitude, saying, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." When we face crises in our personal lives or in the flock among whom we minister, we find strength and comfort in the assurance that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. As ministers, we must have lives that are above reproach. Our character must reflect that of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, for we are His representatives. He was holy, just, honest, trustworthy, and righteous in all His dealings, so we must be holy, just, honest, trustworthy, and righteous in all our dealings. We want to live so those inside and outside of the church will give a good verdict when they evaluate our moral and spiritual lives. The demand for ministers to be of irreproachable character is one we must insist upon today, as Paul did in the time of the early church. It is important to display biblical integrity in matters such as treatment of others, confidentiality, dependability, and absolute honesty. A minister must be an impartial person who will care for all the sheep of his flock equally. Paul addressed the character trait of diligence, commending a brother whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. We ought to be fervent in the ministry, for our calling deserves our very best in terms of effort and commitment. What we say in the pulpit must be backed up by our personal lives. The message must be consistent with the life of the messenger. We cannot give what we have not received. We cannot inspire men to do their best unless we live our best. We need to show by our example of prayer, consecration, and willingness that we have a right to preach on those subjects. People are more likely to look at us than they are to hear our words. One author who wrote on the subject of ministerial character noted, "When words do not penetrate, it may be because there is a feeble man behind them. When ideas do not kindle, it is because there is no divine fire in the lips that speak them." We must preach with conviction and live what we preach, or our words will ring hollow. Ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ should possess a sound mind and common sense, as well as a capacity for clear thinking. A strong, well-rounded intelligence is necessary equipment for this field of endeavor, for we are charged with setting forth to men a clear exposition of God's truth. The Bible, of course, will be our primary textbook, since a thorough knowledge of Scripture is vital. However, we should also seek to broaden our understanding of other key subjects, doing our best to be students of history and society. While a breadth of knowledge is largely based on experience and can only be acquired over a period of time, we should always keep a learner mentality. If we continually and prayerfully observe the complexities of human existence, striving to be understanding of how people live, work, and struggle, we will be better able to minister to them and guide them in matters of spiritual importance. Imagination and originality are helpful traits in successful preaching. It is also beneficial to have a good power of language, although expository skill can be developed through training. As ministers and pastors, we should take care of ourselves physically. God expects us to be good stewards of our time and our resources, so it stands to reason that we should also be good stewards of our physical bodies. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul speaks of having this treasure in earthen vessels, and this is literally true. Our physical bodies have limitations, and we must be realistic about them. Proper rest, exercise, diet, etc., are all acknowledgments of those limitations and must be part of our lives. We should do our best to manage the varied demands placed on our spiritual, physical, and emotional resources through balanced seasons of personal retreat, rest, and recreation. In conclusion, the call to the ministry is not to the faint of heart. Challenges will come. It takes courage, strength of character, perseverance, determination, and the grace of God to be successful in this work. Those who are entering the ministry should be made aware of this fact, and those who have been preaching for years should remind themselves to continually hone their skills, develop their talents, and strive for excellence in their work for the Lord. Counsel for ministers. The call that we have is a gift from God. Brother Alan Crabtree, a veteran minister of the gospel, used to say that being a preacher doesn't make you one whit better than anyone else. When we are ministering, we are simply exercising the particular gift that God has given us, and we are accountable for that. Paul evidenced a spirit of humility and service to others that should be our motto when he said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake."